Well, hey, Power Agents, this is Daryl Davis. Welcome to another month. This month, we have a real special, special person, and her name is Julie Keith. Julie, say hi to everybody.
Hi, everybody.
So, gang, Julie is an incredible person. Now, we're breaking the norm this month from interviewing a real estate agent or real estate success person because, as all of you know, part of what I'm committed to is helping people design a life worth smiling about. And I had met Julie a couple of years ago, and we actually only had an interaction that lasted maybe a few hours. And even just from a few hours, 2 years later, this woman made such an impression on me that I wanted to interview her, and you'll see why. So, Julie, thanks so much for taking the time to do this. I really mean it.
Thank you, Daryl, for having me on. I appreciate it.
Now, Julie, so let's give some people some background. First of all, in your early years, you were pursuing a sport. So why don't you share people what that was?
Yes. Yeah, so early on, really early on, like 6 years old, I had a plan written out, and part of that plan was to be an Olympic gymnast. And so my mom quickly enrolled me at the local gymnastics gym, and very quickly I rose up and was on the team and was competing, and actually Junior Olympics were even being talked about at, you know, and so it was really exciting, and it was possible, and it was happening. And then I had an accident. I injured my ankle on the vault, and my life changed forever.
Now, so you were doing what you love.
Yeah.
And at that moment, as some gymnastic what do you call a person who does gymnastics?
Gymnast.
I almost called you a gymnasium, a gymnast. That so you're being a gymnast, and you had a fall, which that happens. And now, how old were you at the time?
I believe I was seven. I had just turned seven.
Okay.
Yeah.
And now, what happened from that accident, which is bringing us to this next phase in your life?
So the accident resulted in a full reconstructive surgery of my right ankle.
Mm.
And there's fortunately no hardware put in, but they did remove some bone. My growth plate was greatly affected. All the ligaments were torn. It was a pretty serious surgery. It was about 8 hours.
Mm.
And I woke up never the same. I woke up in the worst pain you can't even imagine it. That's the thing with this pain, is you can't even imagine it. And it's not normal, obviously.
Yeah.
And so it took 2 years from the point of that, though, after following that surgery, to actually getting a diagnosis.
So now you had this, so 7 years old, the reconstruction surgery, you came out of it and you were in constant pain?
Constant burning, like you had a lighter fluid put in your veins and a match to your skin.
Wow, okay. And so 2 years of that, I mean, was that pretty on, was it on and off, or was it pretty
constant? It was constant. I didn't take a single step. Didn't walk at all for those 2 years. I rode on my mother's back.
On your mother's back, you crawled?
God. Yeah, my mom has osteoporosis, thanks to me now, because she literally carried me on her back for those 2 years before my insurance approved a wheelchair.
Okay, so 2 years later, you finally, so obviously something's wrong here, and it wasn't from this break anymore. So they diagnosed you with what?
Complex regional pain syndrome, or reflex sympathetic dystrophy. after seeing, so in that 2 year period, I had seen a handful of specialists at Children's, at Rady's Children's in San Diego. And they had told my mom that it was such a complex and rare disease or condition that there's only three places in the world at that time that could treat it. And it was Boston, Massachusetts, New Zealand, or UCLA in Los Angeles. And her being single mom with my brother in tow, obviously went for what was closest to not, you know, dislocate my brother as much as possible.
Mm-hmm.
And so we went there, and I went inpatient under Dr. Joseph's care at UCLA for about 3 months.
Okay.
And did a really intensive rehabilitation program, but still didn't leave walking.
Mm. Now, did your mother, so you went inpatient at UCLA, but you guys were in San Diego at the time, so did your mother move you guys, or?
In the beginning, she drove from Del Mar to LA twice a day so that she could get David to work to school and come up and see me for visiting hours and come back and pick him up from baseball.
Now,
she did that for a while, and then she finally moved up to Pasadena.
How long of a drive is that? Because some people may not get that.
Gosh. Well, let's see, from Del Mar to where is UCLA is in Westwood. I think it's an average 2.5 hours. One way.
Uh-huh. One way. Oh, my gosh. Mm-hmm. Your mother drove 5 hours a day?
Yeah, some days, most days, a lot of those early days, before we moved up there.
You know,
it's unbelievable.
People listening to this, I mean, first of all, you know, just the level of dedication, love that your mother had for you, that, you know, she should be on this interview also, you know, to be such an amazing woman.
I absolutely agree.
and then, now, by the way, is it okay if I ask you, how old are you now?
I am 28 now.
Okay. So this started at 7, and you still have this.
Oh, yeah. My last hospitalization for it was in February 14th to March 2nd.
So you were in a hospital just a couple of months ago for 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm. Well, 2.5 weeks, 7 days.
2.5 weeks. Okay. So almost 3 weeks. So why were you there this time?
Because my CRPS has progressed to some internal organ, and I went to have a imaging done, and I had a mishap go with the IV that was needed to do the procedure. And see, one thing with CRPS is this very sensitive to touch, and anything intrusive the brain recognizes as like a major trauma, not what it really is.
Okay.
So, reverting back, so what happened was the nurse hit something in my hand that wasn't the vein, and it systematically set off my CRPS into a full-blown flare.
Okay.
Which requires lidocaine, ketamine, and dilaudid infusions to get under control.
Wow. So, how many times in the last few years have you been in the hospital?
Let's see.
Or in the last year?
The last year, the last 12 months, 3 times. Or
and
four, maybe.
3 or 4 times. Okay. And each time you're in there for how long?
Minimum 2 weeks. Usually 4. This last one was actually quite short compared to the one before.
And each time that you go, Julie, is it to is it, there's no cure for this, right?
Right, there's no cure.
So when you're going in, is it maintenance to deal with the flare-ups or the pain, or is it to try and, I don't know if experiment is a great word, but for the doctors to find an answer to this?
Both.
Yeah, okay.
Both, yeah. And I'm such a complex case, too, that, like, my doctor has asked me to be part of case studies and things because of the nature of the complexity.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, there's definitely a part of that's part of it. But the other part of it is maintenance of the symptoms.
You know, I just want people to really get this, you know, cause I looked this up. And, you know, the symptoms that I'm reading here are, this is not going to upset you, is it, if I read it?
No,
this?
Go ahead. Yeah, they're real.
It's burning, pins and needles sensation, as if somebody was squeezing your limb off, changes in your skin texture, abnormal sweating patterns, changes in your nail, your hair growth, stiffness in the joints,
mm-hmm.
Burning sensation, all over. So,
mm-hmm.
You know, that's like, that's it, and it deals with the central nervous system.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just, it's permeating, you know, your whole body.
Yep.
And for you, it's constant, this feeling of pain.
Yeah. And it never goes away. It does have what we call flare-ups,
mm-hmm.
Which is when the pain basically just intensifies to the point
mm-hmm.
where you just can't deal with being alive.
mm-hmm.
So those happen, and those can last anywhere from a couple hours to years.
Okay, so... You know, I can't even imagine. Now, you know, I try and be Mr. Smiles, and, you know, and this is what, you know, impressed me about you, because, and you know, doing this interview, over the phone versus on, you know, video is not doing you justice, because you are such a beautiful woman.
Yeah,
and you have such
you
have such a beautiful smile. And as you're telling this, I mean, you're giggling, and which is just so inspiring, because if I had what you had and feeling the pain I was feeling all the time, I don't know if I would be as strong as you. How do you deal with this? How do you deal with this constant battle?
Faith is number one.
Faith.
Love.
Okay.
Faith is number one.
Mm-hmm.
Love from loved ones and
mm-hmm.
doesn't necessarily be family, but love, unconditional love, making sure you have that love.
Mm-hmm.
And a sheer will to want to come out the other side
mm-hmm.
and believing that there is the other side, the bright
mm-hmm.
side.
Mm-hmm.
And having a good sense of humor, definitely. Laughing my way through it, laughing at it. There's
mm-hmm.
some, you know, there's some pretty late night humor that happens, if you will. And you got to be able to laugh at stuff. If you can't laugh at some of the really hard things, for me, I found that it just doesn't work out to benefit you.
Mm.
So if you can just laugh at it and just let it just laugh at it, even
mm-hmm.
though it's very serious,
mm-hmm.
you know, that's been extremely helpful to me.
Well, I mean, from a scientific level, the smiling, the laughter, it generates those anti-stress chemicals in the body, and so that's got to help you
uh-huh.
in reducing the pain. I guess that'd be true. If somebody was focused on the pain, then
yep.
the pain probably be stronger than if they're not focusing on it, right?
100%. There's something I'm working on called PDT, positive distraction therapy. And it's something that I came up with while in the hospital because it's so important not to be so, you know, focused on it. You need to be distracted from it, and it needs to be positive and productive. And so it's something I've, you know, on a million pieces of paper, but hopefully one day it'll come to fruition. But
wow.
I do it myself, you know. I paint. I make sure I spend time in nature as much as I can. You know, I watch funny movies. I'm very mindful of what I put in my ears and eyes.
Okay.
So all of those things have helped me.
Yeah, so explain that a little bit more. First of all, I think it's incredible that you're in the hospital in this pain and you're creating a new technique called PDT, positive distraction therapy. I love it. So can you explain that a little bit more, which you may have just done, but you know, so if you were going to teach that, or if you were going to tell somebody, all right, here's what positive distraction therapy is.
Positive distraction therapy is really what I would call anything that brings you joy, anything
okay.
that puts a smile on your face. For me, it's art. I love art. I love looking at art. I love painting art. But for the PDT a program, I was going to have a drawing option on there. I was going to have a reading option on there.
Mm-hmm.
A collection of things that you could do to help you not be focused on the pain. So it's to the individual. It's for them to think about what brings them joy or,
yeah.
you know, any positivity, and
yeah.
then to practice those things when the pain gets really bad.
Got
or
it.
When it gets tough, you know.
Got it. Okay, great. Well, this sounds like a book in the making here, Julie.
Yeah.
So, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And not for nothing, but, you know, I would call you an authority on this.
Yeah, I wouldn't say I would agree, actually. Humbly, I would agree. Yeah.
All right. So this is just incredible. So your faith and, you know, how does that look for you? So what do you do to practice your faith to keep you anchored?
So I pray every single day before
okay.
I get out of bed. I pray and I take inventory of gratitude. And that's the first thing I do. And then to keep me anchored in it, I do participate in a Bible study with some amazing women.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, I've always had a really strong connection and a really strong faith. So, pardon me, I've had an alarm going off. One second.
It's okay. You have an alarm going off now? Okay.
I just stopped it. Sorry.
Okay.
Medicine alarm.
Okay. Oh, do you have to take your medicine now?
Yeah, I have to go take some medicine just a second.
Yeah, please do that.
I have to set an alarm on my phone to remind me when to take it. So.
How often do you take the medicine?
Up to 7 times a day.
And how many pills is that?
Like 10, I think. Or 12.
For the day or per serving?
No, for the day.
For the day, okay. Well, you can stop
talking. No, it's more than that, actually.
Okay. Well, I can't even take two. I got one. I'm supposed to take a cholesterol pill, and I feel like a real mama moose now because you're seven times, you're taking 12. I can't even take one a day.
I know. It's hard. It's something that I am striving to have not be part of my life. The more I'm always talking to my doctors, how can we knock the pills down?
Mm.
And I've done that. I've done quite some amazing work on that front.
You have?
Yeah.
Yeah, so you know, in some, I'm going to guess that, you know what? I'm going to ask the question as opposed to guess, and I want to come back to this faith in a second. But do you feel that there's a reason why this has happened to you, that there's a purpose?
I absolutely believe there is a purpose. Do I know what that purpose is exactly? No. Do I have an idea? Yes. What that idea is that I'm supposed to help others not go through what I went through.
Mm-hmm.
And to spare the pain that I could have been spared.
And that's exactly what I was going to say that I thought. Is that when you just said how you were able to, through the doctors, to reduce the number of pills that you're taking, in some
mm-hmm.
respects you're a living, you know, this sounds horrible, but a living, you know, experiment on this
yeah.
disease. Yeah.
Yeah,
and,
I am. I got to accept it.
Yeah. Well, this is, you know how I know this is making a difference in people's lives right now, Julie, is because while you're talking, I'm actually taking notes, and I've never taken notes on an interview before. So this interview is just for me. I'm learning so much now. The prayer part that you do in the morning. I'm curious.
Mm-hmm.
What is that prayer, or is it? Because there's a couple of different ways that people can pray. You know, they recite something, or is there a standard prayer that you do in the morning?
No. No, okay. I don't have any recited prayer. It's just whatever's in my heart and
okay.
on my mind at that time.
Okay. All right. Very cool.
Do have
All
a right. devotional that I follow, like that I use, so I'll read that morning and night. But as far as like when I'm praying in the morning first thing, it's just pure flow.
Got it. And for people that aren't familiar with devotional, just explain what that is.
So I think most, you know, religions have some type of devotional, and a devotional usually has some kind of scripture for the morning and the evening to kind of anchor you for the day.
Mm-hmm.
The morning one is to anchor you for the day, and the evening one is to anchor you for the evening. And those just help you kind of be reminded and be mindful and just, you know, kind of stay on track with your faith and what that means to you.
Gotcha. All right, great. All right, so okay, you said a couple of things before. I wrote down four that is the secret to you in the face of this disease. Have a life worth smiling about. And one of them was faith. And the second one you said was love.
Yeah,
could you embellish on that?
Oh, where I began on love. Well, it's critical. It's vital. It's of the utmost importance as long as it's true, which means unconditional, no expectations, no scoreboard, pure love. I'm doing this for you because I love you, not for anything for my gain.
Wow.
And to have love like that'll give you some willpower to fight through some hairy stuff.
Well, you obviously have that from your mom, right?
Yeah. And my brother.
And your brother. Okay.
Yeah.
How old is your brother?
My brother is a 6'3", 0, 30. 30.
when you say 30 to a guy like me that's 51, you don't use the word, he's the big 3-0. No, that's like little.
I'm sorry, it's a little 3-0.
That's a little 3-0. That's right. I would love a little 3-0 in my life right now. Okay. So you've got your mom, you've got your brother. Anybody, now I'm sure there's many people in your life that care about you. Is there anybody else that stands out that you have that? Yeah. Okay.
There's two other people. My doctor that I've had for the last 3 years, Dr. Furnish. He has just been, honestly, has saved my life.
Mm.
I could get all into that, but that's a whole different thing that would take forever. But he's amazing. And
so he's not doing what he's doing because it's his job or because he wants to write a book about, this disease.
He is doing, and I'm in his book. But, he is a doctor for the, like, I have been dealing with this for 20 years, right?
Right.
I never once have had a doctor care about me and talk to me and brainstorm with me for what is best for me, not what's best for Big Pharma, not what's best for him, but what's best for me, and has gotten me gotten my medicine so much better. I mean, I'm in such better state now than I was before I had him. So he's a blessing. He's an angel. And then Chris is my best friend and off and off boyfriend, but ultimately best friend. We've been friends for like, I think 13 years now.
Okay.
We've known each other and he has just stood by my side through all of it and been encouraging and has never walked away. And that's something that happens with when you live with something like this. People don't want to be around it. It's too hard. It's too this, too that. And people fade away. They might, come in for a second, but they fade real, real fast. And so you're alone a lot of the time. And he has not been like that. He has loved me the way I know love to be, which is unconditional. No expectation for nothing, for his, no gain of his. No gain of his does he love me.
Wow. Okay. So now, have you, because you sound so sweet, I got to ask this question. Have you ever been a biatch?
Oh, yeah. This cute little sweet thing I get all the time. And, everybody has their boiling points, I think, is fair. But it's not like I need anger management or anything. I'm not a bitch unless it's really, really, really called for. And even then, I would call myself a diplomatic bitch.
Okay, good. And the reason why I asked that because you anybody that's listening to this and has not met you, they're probably thinking, oh, this girl is perfect. And so I wanted them to see that,
No, far from it.
Yeah. There's that you're not a normal human being that's doing something extraordinary on how you're dealing. Like you're being extraordinary with this with what you've been dealt with. And I want people to get that. So okay, so this is just incredible. You are taking my breath away with a lot of what you're sharing.
I'm sorry.
No. I mean, no, in a good way. I mean, you're very.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, no, you're taking my breath away in a good way, because.
That's good.
Yeah, and listen, I'm going to say this now. This is probably something I would want to hold to saying goodbye to our interview. But, you know, again, I only met you for a few hours, 2 years
mm-hmm.
ago.
And yeah.
that's the impact you had on me. So you need to get that you are so extraordinary to make that kind of impact on me. That I wanted to interview you as one of the first people that has this kind of interview. That's how extraordinary you are.
Okay. Thank you, Daryl. I will accept the gravity of that compliment.
Okay. All right, cool. All right, now, two other things you said. You said faith, you said love, you said laughing. Laughing helps. So do you consciously... do you consciously have mechanisms or things to do to make yourself laugh? Because, you know, somebody that would have, not just this affliction, somebody that just has a crappy day and, you know, they lost their job or they're late on their mortgage payment and their relationships are, like, you know, for some people, they can have their own set of reasons to be depressed.
Absolutely.
You know, so... What could they do? What is there something that you do that helps you to keep the laughter in the face of this?
YouTube is a great source of laughter.
Okay.
you can find some pretty funny stuff on there. I'll just search funny baby videos, and usually a cute little baby doing something silly will make you laugh and break the intensity of the moment you're in.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
So that's a pretty solid one to count on, you know, or if you know of if you don't have a lot of time, that's a good one. So you can just watch a quick video.
Yeah.
Or,
yeah.
I don't know, just get creative. Tap into the creative. Yeah.
you know, you coming up with that PD therapy, positive distress. I love that too. So, which is not really the laughter, but it's, you know, it's something on the positive side too. And I love your definition on that. It's anything that gives you joy. That was such a profound definition of this distinction you created of PDT. It's profound because it's so simple. And points.
Which is what my goal was.
Yeah, that's awesome. So I so love that. Now, your goals. Now, that was the fourth thing you said. You said that you really believe that you're going to get through this, that you're going to come out of this on the other side. And so if you have that kind of conviction and belief, I would think that you have certain goals or plans that you want to do in the next year to 5 years.
Yeah, definitely.
Okay.
I'm working on working through the not being overwhelmed by how many goals I have.
Really?
Yeah, I have a lot of goals because, you know, life is short and I have stuff I want to make happen, you know, and I've lived enough of my life where the disease and the pain is controlling me, and I don't know if I'm just at a different level now where I'm able to be in control of it more as far mm-hmm. as mentally and being able to see life possible
mm-hmm.
outside of it.
Mm-hmm.
And so that has been a recent development, quite frankly, is to really believe that, that I can still own my own business, which is what I ultimately want to do, and be able to give whenever I want to give, create my PDT program, and there's a few other things, you know. But for goals for myself for this year is to just continue to work on my health and to continue doing what I'm doing, because what I'm doing is working. And so, yeah, I'm just going to stay disciplined and setting my intentions and keeping a positive walk, positive talk as much as possible. I mean, and don't get, I want it to be clear, though, to everybody that's listening. I have my days, quite a few of them, where I'm not smiling. I'm crying. I'm sometimes heaving in pain, and sometimes I'm crying, why, and please just make this stop. Like, it's so embarrassing to even say that, let alone get a visual of what that would look like. So just because I'm saying positive walk, positive talk, and I'm kind of giggling through this interview doesn't mean that I have my times of, you know, just like everyone else.
Torture.
Real.
Yeah.
I'm human. Yeah,
right.
I'm just human too, you know?
And that's what I was that's what I was wanting to get at earlier when I asked about your not being in a positive mood, but you just articulated it so much better than how I and that was brilliant. Now I'm curious, as we're coming to the end of this, as far as your goals that you have, and how you said how you have so many. And really, it's just a curious question. Do you do any kind of, you know, writing it down, visualizing it, having a vision board, any of that motivational kind of stuff that we hear about in the speaking world?
Yes, 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 and yes.
Okay.
Yes, 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 and yes. I think you know what. Do you know Dave Austin?
Dave Austin,
are you familiar with?
Sure.
Okay. He's the Be a Beast guy?
Yep.
So I recently went through his 30-day Beast Challenge, actually.
Okay. Okay.
And it was awesome. It was really cool. But part of that challenge was setting goals and really defining them and knowing the why behind them, and really setting your goals up for success, not setting your goals up for failure.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, like, that was really helpful, because before that I was really having trouble structuring my goals.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, with that help of, like, you know, his saying is turn your dreams into goals with a timeline. So, like, anyways, it's good stuff. And so,
okay.
Yeah, I write them down, and I write down, like, my three ones that I want to attain in the next, like, 3 months. And then I have three that I write down that are a bit bigger, that are going to take some more effort and some more time, but are possible.
Mm-hmm.
And then I write down one big, huge one that I have no idea how it's going to happen.
Okay.
And could take however long. I put no time limit on it.
And do you write this in a book? Do you hang it on a poster somewhere that you would say?
I have it in a book and on the wall.
Okay.
Yeah, so I keep a daily intention log, if you will. And part of those intentions are steps to meet my goal.
Mm.
So I have, like, my overall goals up on my dream board, but then I have my daily intentions book, and I write down my three intentions for that day, and at least one of those intentions is stepping me towards one of my goals.
Gotcha. Now, I'm assuming that this is part of what you do in the morning, writing this, your three intentions for the day.
Yes, sir.
Mm. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, I pray, and then I do yoga for about 30 minutes. And then I set my intentions and drink a smoothie and brush my teeth.
Okay. And it's so cute.
For your information.
Yeah, I love it. It's so great. All right. So So what time do you get up in the morning? And when you're done with the praying, the yoga, the shake, the intentions, the brushing the teeth, and I'm sure there's a couple other things in there too. So after, how long does this morning ritual take?
A couple hours. About 2 to 3 hours, because I don't like to rush. Rushing gives me anxiety. So I like to take my time, and with the way my body is, I can't really move fast either. So, like, I can't put on the average yoga video. Like, it takes me a lot longer to do most things. About 2 to 3 hours, depending on how I'm feeling.
Okay. All right. So, there's a secret to success. Well, there's a secret to success for people. I guess if you want to create new habits and create a new state of mind and a new way of being, that, you know, you've got to train your brain to be this new way. Like you would go to the gym, you've got to go to the spiritual gym and the emotional gym.
Right.
And
so
that means you've got to, you know, you've got to wake up before. You know, if a person's day normally starts at getting up at, let's say, 7, and who they've been for the past 20, 30, 50 years is this particular way of being that they want to change, well, then they have to put in extra hours, because the 7 o'clock person that they are is the person they want to change. So that means, yeah, they probably should get up at 5. And take at least a couple of hours to create the new them, right?
Absolutely, 100%. It's tough in the beginning, but stick with it. And I would like to say I could guarantee you will see positive changes in your life.
This is awesome. So, all right, so Julie, we got faith, you covered love, you covered laughing, and your beliefs about the future, your goals. Is there anything else that you would like to share with people to help them get through whatever struggles, challenges that they are having in their life?
Know that you've been through something hard before and you got through it. Everybody has been through something difficult, whatever it may be, and they did overcome it. So remember that in you, that you have overcome adversity, and that you can do it again.
That's awesome. That is awesome, awesome. Julie, before I say goodbye, I have to ask you, where are you right now while we did this interview?
On my yoga mat. On my yoga mat in my upright position.
So you've been doing yoga. Are you outside or inside?
I'm actually outside. I have a wonderful patio that's got bamboo like all around it, and I put a yoga mat out here and a little palm tree, and it's wonderful. It's a little zen area.
There you go. That's, and you know what? That's exactly what I would have visualized if I took the time to think about it. So that's just so perfect for you. That's awesome. All right. I'm going to say goodbye to everybody. You stay there right with me. So don't hang up. So, at Power Agents, everybody listening to this, if you're half a human being, a normal human being, I know that you got a tremendous amount of value from Julie and what she shared. And, you know, just take this to heart, that there's probably somebody always got a challenge that's bigger than yours. And if they can get through it like Julie has, so can you. So, Julie, God bless you. Thank you so much for sharing yourself and making a difference in the world by just being who you are.
Yeah, all the thanks to you, Daryl.
All right, and stay with me.